Oh, she got cut off.
Yep.
All right. So in the Parks and Rec department, essentially our job is to provide recreation, leisure, and facilities, programs and facilities to meet the needs of Cumberland County citizens. We really strive to do that in an informative and entertaining way, doing educational programs, different sorts of trips for the seniors, camps for the kids. And, you know, we also ensure that the environments that we do these events and programs in are safe and clean. And our accomplishments and highlights this year, you can take a look at this, but a couple that I want to point out are the first daddy-daughter dance that we did this year, and we did that in partnership with social services. They got a grant for that, and we were able to do two events free of charge for the community with that grant fund, and we want to continue those two because we had really good turnouts. This is our daddy-daughter dance. You can see the pictures. And this is at the beginning of the dance. This is kind of like midway through. We had 200 and some participants. I can't remember the number off the top of my
Sounds
head.
Sounds about right.
But yeah, it was 200 and some participants at the daddy-daughter dance. Field day was a little bit smaller, but we also programmed that event on a day when we had youth football going on. So we got some people coming in later on that day. And then the last one I want to point out is along with administration and public works, we established the LPJ committee. And that's been really productive, and the committee is really enthusiastic, and it's going to lead to some good changes.
Yeah, we had a really good tour. Mm-hmm. Was it last week?
Last week, Thursday.
Can't believe it was a week ago already, but yeah, we had a really good tour last week.
Toured Central High School in Goochland.
All right. You want me to go ahead?
Yes, sir. And for our budget this year, it's very similar to what it was last year, and I did put an explanation of changes. I had it in there, and I think I just accidentally deleted it. But the big thing is the operating costs. We're asking for slightly more this year, basically because those programs that we started, the dance and the field day, we want to continue to run those, and we ran them with a grant last year. We're also getting some more participants in our senior weightlifting class, our weightlifting and fitness classes for the seniors. And so we're looking at buying a couple more pieces of exercise equipment. And so it's not that much of a difference, but it's a slight difference, and those are the reasons why. And yeah, our future outlook, like what we are really trying to do, our biggest challenge is like programming things that people want to participate in or can participate in. Participation tends to be lagging in some of our programs. On our calendar, if you look at the REC website, you'll see an event each week. We try to have an event each week. What's helped us is things like Senior Lounge Day and After School Adventures. Now, through the winter, we didn't really get many seniors coming out because of the snow, but we were starting to pick up pace with that. Our senior trips are once a month as well, and they also see good participation. So we're seeing like that continuous programming is helping with that, and also partnering with like Camp Parsons and the library for events also helps really well. So that's in the future, that's what we're trying to do.
Can you expand a little bit more on your description for the partnerships you have with Camp Parsons?
Absolutely. So
library and extension.
Yeah, so we partner with the library to run different things. We're at their summer events, and we also do a once a month class with them, a fitness class. Mm-hmm. So the library hosts the class, but REC runs it. With Camp Parsons, we did our first nature camp this summer, and so they let us use the facilities for free. Yep. So we just basically charged the kids the cost of like kind of staffing and like for some snacks. But Camp Parsons also is really good about providing snacks. So we're able, they partner with us for the after school adventures too. Of course, in the winter, we've kept that in our gym instead of going down to Camp Parsons in the snow. But we'll be back at Camp Parsons next month for our after-school adventures. And so they've been really helpful and also really resourceful, too. They have donated a lot of, like, snacks and different materials, like ice packs, freeze pops, and stuff like that to Parks and Rec. Mm-hmm. So they've been really helpful, and our partnership has, like, helped us to establish some programs and stuff. So.
I might add, he speaks highly of you, so...
Which
is a great relationship.
Really enjoyed working with them though at Camp Parsons, so
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
And yeah, my last slide is just
questions.
It's just questions, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Questions, yeah.
I had a question.
Oh, you have a question.
You said weightlifting. How many people you got participating in weightlifting?
In weightlifting? This month we had, off the top of my head, I think 3 new signed up. We have a couple of yearly participants, about 5 on that. And then anywhere from like 5 people who are consistent. So it's about 15 people in our weight room, 15 to 20 people in our weight room. It's been as many as like 28, I think, was the most we had in 1 month. Yeah.
And on that note with the daughter dance and stuff, is any way that, well, this probably point to you because he'd be gone, that we can get her to come to a board meeting maybe once every 2 months or something, just to...
We're kind of like highlight her.
Highlight what's going on.
Yeah,
so, I mean, you got some people in the, like you see, a lot of people that don't get on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you come down and they don't hear it, then...
Yeah,
it can't say nothing to us.
And I've been trying to get in touch with, a few months ago I sent out a bunch of postcards to all the churches with return address postcards stamped on it to try to get a lot of them on a calendar list. I didn't get many back, but I think what I need to do is like call and like just visit too. That's one of the ways. That's what
grassroots.
That's what one of the ladies in my senior class was saying.
So is there a certain period where you're going to have like sign ups for events?
Yeah, we do that on Facebook, and that's how we get the word out a lot of times, our Facebook. So they contact me via cell, contact me on Facebook, and the RSVPs usually for events that I need numbers for, because certain events, like for Senior Lounge, I don't need anyone to RSVP, they come in and play games.
Right.
For the RSVP events, they usually end like the RSVPs 2 days before the event, so.
So, you're more than welcome to come to board meetings and do a presentation.
Yeah, sure.
And you can keep it short. You know, maybe you have one in the appropriate months as you're signing up to kind of announce it.
Yeah.
And then the other one is there is a pretty strong homeschool group here.
There is, yeah.
And I don't know if you have inroads to them or not, but
I do with Extension. So Extension will use our facilities occasionally, but occasionally we'll partner on an event for the homeschool kids. So yeah, the last time Linda and I, we were actually texting each other a couple weeks ago about getting up because the snow canceled one of their events. They were supposed to be up at rec doing a little after school, or not after school, homeschool event. So,
great. Again, you're welcome anytime.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Wonderful.
For Sam?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
That's it, Ann. I'll do more.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Mr. Sachs.
Here we are today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So today I'm here to talk about the solid waste department and the maintenance department. The maintenance team's responsibilities are day-to-day and long-term maintenance of buildings and infrastructure for Cumberland County, for the public schools and county government buildings. That includes a little over 20 buildings. I have them listed here. Just a few of those are county admin building, county courts, Bear Creek Academy, Clothes Closet, Delma's Pantry, some fire and EMS station, a rescue station, and Randolph Fire Department that is rented out to the Randolph Fire Department. 4 parks, the public library, and other buildings. In addition to their regularly scheduled work week, staff are on call for after-hour facility issues. This ranges from alarms or maintenance issues at facilities to water, wastewater issues, which can result in multiple call-outs throughout the day or night and the weekends, requiring both maintenance and utility staff teams to be familiar with all facilities owned by the county. So a lot of our utility and maintenance staff are duly trained. Their on-call schedule is roughly every 8 weeks, with department supervisors and maintenance and utility supervisors being on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to assist the other workers just in case they get hung up on issues while they're out. And then, like I said, being on call includes nights, weekends, holidays, and bad weather. So within the maintenance department, we have kind of two different groups of guys. We got maintenance worker ones and maintenance worker twos. Maintenance worker ones, during the warmer months, we did have a team of three that were responsible for all, for maintaining all the grounds, mowing, weed eating, leaf cleanup, stick cleanup. We did that for all county owned properties, including the library, extension office, Stemless Pantry, and a variety of facilities throughout the county, equaling approximately 46 acres to be completed in 5 days, with the guys working 8 hours a day. This year, kind of halfway through the year, we had one individual leave us. So I asked a lot of the solid waste staff and our public utility staff to come in and help cut grass at the school, cut grass at the admin, and that kind of stuff. And between everybody chipped in, and we were able to, you know, keep everything cut and looking nice. So and that's also working around any weather, rain, putting us behind.
So when I left, the one that left was full time.
It was a full time position, maintenance worker one.
So you're missing one full time.
We currently still are. Yes. Yep. Yep. And then, so like I said, we have maintenance worker one and a maintenance worker two, kind of broke up. The maintenance worker two guys are a little more skilled, a little more advanced in plumbing, electric, building maintenance, and that kind of stuff. And just the other month, we had a maintenance worker two leave us as well. So we are down two on the maintenance side. So next slide is solid waste. We have three solid waste stations in the county. Our solid waste department works, somebody in that department works 7 days a week. Our Madison station is open 7 days a week, and then our Randolph and Hamilton station have alternating days that they're off, and then alternating schedules. The transfer station attendance day-to-day is interacting with citizens, keeping sites clean and operational, working alongside our refuge hauling company and communicating the needs of each refuge site to them. James Bryant, who is also here with us today, he kind of oversees the day-to-day. Any questions the guys have, he is also the first point of contact for Vanderland Recycling, who handles all of our trash. And those guys, it's typically two of them, and they stay on top of making sure all the dumpsters are have adequate space for citizens to dump their trash throughout the week. The solid waste supervisor, along with administrative assistance to the public works facility, they facilitate our annual tire recycling day for citizens. This event is held on a Saturday and allows citizens to bring in old tires to be recycled. This is at no cost to the citizens or the county, as this is a grant-funded event through DEQ. And we've done it in the fall before, but I think we've kind of moved it, or we did it in the spring. We've kind of moved it to the fall for people trying to clean up before wintertime. It's a little cooler. Snakes and stuff aren't out as bad. We have had people bring in tires, and we get jail inmates, trustees to come help us. I think 2 years ago, we had one guy bring in a truckload of tires, and as they were being thrown up in there, three or four copperheads came out. Whoa. The tires out of the trailer, and so did all the inmates. So, what's that?
No rats.
No rats.
That's been a slow day.
Yeah, I think the smallest snake was a little over 2 feet, and the other two were a little longer than that.
Good size.
They were. Yep. So they were surprised to everybody that day.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
Never know what you're gonna deal with.
You do not. So our goals and objectives, the department's goals and objectives are as follows: maintaining all county and school facilities in a safe and cost-effective manner, utilizing best management practices to lead and coordinate all capital improvement projects, to respond to all work orders within 24 hours and have all those work orders completed within 5 days dependent on what happened and availability of parts to get them to us to fix them. To initiate field training and certification opportunities for all staff in fields that individuals are interested in. We try to accommodate them just so we're a more well-rounded group of coworkers. All right. On the budget, you'll see that this year we're a little less than what we were last year. Last year, we had two HVAC issues at the admin building here just die on us. So through our PM of those units, we did, there was two complete units, each one of them costing around $10,000 to $11,000 that was unexpected that we had to replace the inside and outside unit for those. For the refuse side, we're kind of right on course for what we kind of projected. We do, and it's Robbie made mention of it in his thing, we are having a whole lot of houses being built within the county. So with those houses being built and families moving in and creating trash, we are seeing increase in trash at our Randolph station, where typically in the past, and at our Madison station, but typically in the past, we've been able to make it through the weekend and still have space in the dumpsters. Starting about a year or so ago, maybe a year and a half ago, we were filling up by lunchtime on Sunday, and Bean was getting calls, I was getting calls of where to put stuff. So we've started putting an extra container up in the lot for overflow stuff, and it has started to become pretty frequent every Monday when we come in. The regular bins are full, and that overflow bin is half full, if not more. So I would say in the next 3 years, we'll probably need to look at that station about either making it bigger, redesigning it, reconfiguring it, just because of new houses being built, more people being in the county, which is more trash being produced.
Yeah, it might be good to look at all three at the same time.
Get some economies. Madison's still doing pretty good. Hamilton is still staying about the same it's been for the last 10 years, but you made the mention of lots being sold off. It's like that all over the county. So yeah. It's just a matter of time before Hamilton starts, you know, trending upward on that trash collection.
Well, if we can, we just pause just for a second.
Yeah.
Because we're on the topic. What can we do to, in your opinion, to decrease the cost of what's coming through the transfer stations? Because we got, just looking at the budget, about $139,000 swing cost heading our way for the next year. And you know, things like if we have contractors using our facilities, why are they using them for free? I mean, we got to start talking about it.
Right. In the past, we've talked about how we can charge at facilities. Mm-hmm. There is not one facility in the county that is set up to be able to take money constantly, to be able to account for the money and then turn it in at the end of the day. Auditors have been on us for years, just even the tire money. Bean goes around every other day, tries to collect tire money and turn it in. Because we always got dinged on a receipt that was from 6 days ago that got turned into the treasurer's department. Mm-hmm. 6 days later. So we've tried to stay away from keeping money at the transfer stations.
I don't blame you.
So we've talked about having citizens come to the treasurer's office, pay for tires, then bring the receipt to the transfer station, show the paid slip. But then it runs into, what do you do on Saturdays and Sundays? Do you just not take tires on Saturdays or Sundays? Which, that's when everybody's trying to clean up and you probably have your most being delivered. So you run into all that. We've had those discussions before. I'm more than happy to kind of have those discussions again to try to figure out a way. It would probably take more staff And again, we'd have to redo a lot of those.
There's really two paths, either one or the other or both. You either address it through fees and cost recovery, or you try to tighten even more on what's going in there.
And see.
And people that aren't residents actually using.
Right. So we have done that in the last 5 years. Bean and the guys have been really good at, I mean, our transfer station guys, there's not but so many people in the county. They kind of know who's in the county. So when they see an out-of-state license plate or they see somebody that
they don't really recognize,
they do have the ability to card an ID. Mm-hmm. That's in our code. And they have the ability to do that. They have done that. And there has been instances where cops have been called and people have been cussed out. County employees have been cussed out and been called all kinds of stuff. And then I've had to step in, Beans had to step in, and it never really ends well like that. But we have caught a lot of Powhatan, Goochland, and Fluvanna people trying to dump. Not really that many people at Randolph just because of where it's at. Mm-hmm. It's
right.
It's hard to come from Amelia. Yeah. The town of Farmville offers their own trash service, and then it's kind of hard to get here from Buckingham. But right here in Madison, coming down 13 from Powhatan, across the bridges from Louisa, Goochland, Powhatan, they do try to hit those up pretty heavy.
Brian, would it help if we had an ordinance to where we could find people? And then you simply call a deputy and say, we have someone here?
I mean, that would work. Our transfer station attendants, they've been told, if you see something that didn't really look right, card them, ask who they are. And it kind of is difficult, even here and in Cartersville. People have addresses that on their license plate say, Columbia.
Yeah.
And our transfer stations might not really know if it's in Louisa or if it's in Cumberland. So that part is really difficult. I mean, there's people even here that live in Buckingham, but they have a Cumberland County address, but they're 3 miles over the line into Buckingham County, but they're serviced out of the Cumberland post office. So all their mail, driver's license, all that stuff says a road in Buckingham, Cumberland County, Virginia.
At least we're not in Northumberland.
Hey, we're on 13.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I've been stopped twice getting out of my truck at a transfer station, and they were like, let me see your ID.
So the guys do that, but if there was something like that, I could get my guys to take a picture of the license plate, not really getting a verbal argument with them, but like, you're not allowed to be here. Can you please put your ID?
The funny part is I gave him a hug. Right. I said, thank you so much for doing your job.
They do really good.
So what I would suggest is, Mr. Stanley, if we could arrange a work group and sit around and brainstorm it, and then come back and make recommendations to the board. So I had thought about at the building permit level, since these are contractors, they're building houses, add it to the permit, $25 dump fee, and if they say no, and then that's kind of transparent to their, all they're gonna have is a list of qualifying building permit numbers. Mm-hmm. That's all they have to have.
Well, you would do that by ordinance.
Yeah, and do that by ordinance. That combined with a fine should help some, but we got to do something. I think it's all the counties around us have hardened their systems. I know counties like up in the Northern Neck, they've all gone to decals. And once one county goes to a decal, then it's like the House of Cards. It's like all the rest of them have to go to decals because it just shifts. Yeah. To the next transfer station.
I will say, I don't, and B might be able to talk a little bit more to this, I don't see a lot of contractors bringing stuff in and dumping that are building new homes and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I do, it's small little remodels, little contractors that do a bathroom or just a kitchen.
Okay.
And they bring in kind of just a pickup truck or just a trailer. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff you see. But I do think they bring it in under the assumption that it's just in their truck and it's their stuff. But yeah. So, but being a citizen that know what they do, you kind of see it, but confront them with that, it's tricky.
And see, to Brian's point, if you're a contractor, you're building a new house, you're going to have a dumpster out there.
Yeah, and a lot of them do.
But they made that on there?
Most of them do.
No, they come with the permit when they remodel to have a bin.
I don't know if that's required on their permit. It's just, and Robbie would be the one to answer that, but it's kind of what you're doing. You know, if you're doing electrical plumbing, then you do the electrical plumbing permit.
And there's probably fees. Just language that says appropriately dispose of waste.
Right.
Yeah, like I said, the guy next door to me, he got his own trailer down.
Yeah,
load dump up trailer. He hauled it off, he took it to town, farm ready.
Yeah.
And dump it. Yes.
So there are a lot of solutions that we could put on the table, as well as an ordinance for someone using our facility where they get fined if they get caught, to put a little meat in it, because I don't want to put your guys in any way, shape, or form, in harm's
right.
way,
right.
trying to defend somewhat. So if it's an ordinance and there's a fine, they literally can call the sheriff's department and say, please send someone down.
Right.
I have a feeling the people trying to use our facility would leave rather quickly and probably wouldn't come back. But
yeah, you would hope.
I would suggest that if we have signs up before they even enter the facility, that's a fine.
So we do have signs at every single one of them that says it's for county citizens only. There's also signs there that says that the transfer station attendant has the right to ID. State code is listed on there as well. And that if you refuse to provide ID, then you will be asked to leave the property without dumping. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if we're in agreement, then whoever might want to work on that committee, just let us know.
Okay.
I'd like to help, because it's just more brainstorming again, but try to keep it simple and something that's easy to implement.
Right.
And try to see if we can cut back on some of this expense.
Right. Yeah. Because that is a fairly small group. There's seven people in that department. Bean's one of them, and then you have three full time and three part time guys that kind of handle all of that. So.
Okay.
In addition to their daily work, the maintenance department successfully completed the following projects.
I'm
on the next slide. Nope, you're good.
Who's on your part time guy?
What's that?
One of your part time guys on the committee.
We can have one of the workers sit in on it.
They can speak up too, but they know what they do. They know what's what.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't hurt at all. So we have successfully finished the Madison Ballpark renovation project, which included updating the restrooms, new dugouts. We were able this past fall to put new dirt on all three fields and have them graded out. That was done by county staff. We put 105 tons of dirt on three different fields. Along with that project, which was some grant money, at the old school for Sam, we were able to do new backboards and new doors for that whole facility. And after volleyball and basketball season is finished, we're going to do some work to the ceiling, since people are complaining about the insulation falling down when volleyballs and basketballs hit it. So and it falling on the students.
Some of your board members may not be aware, but that gym roof or ceiling has got spray on insulation.
Mm-hmm.
And every time a ball hits it,
it stuff rains down on people.
Down.
Nice.
So
people assume it's asbestos. It's not.
It's been tested. We've had Amelia, Buckingham, Prince Edward parents up there for the weekend watching their kids play basketball, volleyball, and for whatever reason the ball hits the ceiling. And then we fielded questions here. We were up there this weekend, stuff fell on my kid. Is it asbestos? And we've gotten that from all three different counties.
Yeah, when I was in school, we did it on purpose. So we didn't got to.
As I say, if you put up a sign that says, don't do this, the kids will do it.
We throw it up, that's when it falls on the floor.
And that's for noise deadening, so it doesn't echo so much in there. So we will be removing all that, so it will get extremely louder in there.
But there's nothing raining down.
Yes, there's nothing falling on your precious child's head. That's right. construction of the new doors and painting at DSS, painting at dispatch. We painted dispatch to go along with their consoles that are being put in next week that we will be over there assisting Daniel and Darren with. We had a courthouse generator breaker repair that required for power to be shut down there and in coordination with Dominion. Sidewalk repairs at the courthouse. The school asked us, got us to regrade their back playground at the school, so that was a project that we were able to get done. The middle school roof, we put a new roof on that two or three years ago. and this year, they were having issues with the gym floor flooding. So we were able to go up in the ceiling and repipe all of their drain roofs. It was still the old original drainage from when it was built back in the 70s or whenever that gym, because they built the school around that gym. So all those drain pipes went underneath the gym floor. We've cut those loose, and now they exit off the roof and out to the side of the buildings or onto other roofs to get off the building. Extension office foundation repair, that was completed. The guys finished up that paint, so extension office can reuse the basement facility there for activities and events. Setup and decorating of the tree lighting event, including updating all exterior light poles to new LED poles. Don't know if anybody's noticed that, but all parking lot lights and all lights around here have been upgraded by county staff in-house to LED lights. And we also added electrical plugs to the base of, I think, every single pole, so that we would have power out there for lights on it for Christmas, along with whatever event in the spring if we need extra power up there. So that was done as well. And then administrative staff for the Public Works Department also helped with tree decoration and that kind of thing. We had two snow events this past year. One of them that was supposed to be bad, but turned out to be half of what they said, which turned out fine with us. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I got one question. Yeah. Back up. Mm-hmm. That part with the school, the football field at the middle school, did y'all accomplish on the bathrooms up there? That's something they got.
The football field at the high school up here?
Yeah, where they play football at the middle school.
We have done extensive repairs to the floor and that kind of stuff. For the past 4 years, probably, we have recommended for them to put a new trailer in or build something permanent, and they don't have the funds for it.
I know I had complaints about the, and I talked to Ms. Shorten, sure.
Ms. Shorten.
Because people complained about the, when they have football games and stuff.
I think this past
They used part of John.
Yeah, it's because they didn't want to pay the money to have the repair done. I think
That trailer's is in rough shape.
That trailer's been there for roughly 20 years, and it was a temporary trailer when it was put there 20 years ago.
Okay.
This past year, I want to say we had a coworker up there working on a sink, and when he laid down on the floor to get under the sink to work on it, his shoulder fell through the floor.
I doubt it.
So
she addressed that on our walk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we recommended and told her kind of how much it was going to cost for us to redo the floor. But the problem with that is I think we've done that women's bathroom floor twice, if not three times, mm-hmm. prior. So it's just putting Band-Aids on top of Band-Aids.
Yeah, but that's why I said addressing it.
Yeah.
And we addressed before and not doing nothing about it. When the resident go down and complain about it, it coming back on us, but they can figure we not doing nothing about it to see that they can do something about it.
Right. I want to say six or seven years ago when Stuart was still alive, we had drawn up plans for, I think it was bathrooms and a concession stand and a ticket booth box, all kind of in that first little opening when you come through.
Ashley, you remember how ballpark of how much that was?
Was it in the 60s?
Yeah, I think it was around $60,000, and the school chose not to, and that was with county staff at the time.
Yeah. I mean,
pretty
I
much doing right foundation.
Half a million.
Yeah.
I just said something because I talked
it's
to
serious.
I even told Chip when he was here the same thing, because when you take a football team from up there, the guys, they got to dress outside the cold. Now, when come and go to Prince Edward, he was talking about do the same thing.
Yeah.
But they got a place to go in. Every football team, you got somewhere to go in and change and use the bathroom. You put them on the bus, they got to run all the way across there just to go to the bathroom. And change clothes right there outside the bus.
I think what they do now is the football teams that come in to play Cumberland, they let them get dressed up in the locker rooms in the gym. And then put them back on the bus and then drive them down. And then they're out there until the end. And then they put them back on the bus, drive them back up to the locker rooms at the gym, I believe.
Oh, they ain't
and
doing
then
that
let
thing,
them,
They ain't do it this time.
They didn't do it this year?
No.
I've seen them do it in the past. So.
No, they ain't do it this year.
They really just need a new bathroom, change in field house, and take a facility.
Yeah. I don't know why they do it when they build the field.
If there's a building,
I mean, go buy. I told her, go buy. Buggy top to build something. There's nothing going out the west field.
Right.
And chain clothes.
You can get prefab. We looked at prefab stuff.
Yep, we did. And I think that was, yep, and that was sent to them too. I think the only thing that kind of would have to be done by the county or by the school would be like the foundation
concrete.
And then it just comes in, and then kind of like Legos.
Yeah.
Bits and pieces. Crane sets it in place.
It is a building. Yeah. It's work.
So.
What is that building right next to the log cabin? Not directly, but.
That's the football locker room for Cumberland County.
That's why I was asking. You're talking about having to change. So that's just only
for them.
One. Okay, gotcha. So, I knew that building was so big.
Yeah, I think when you walk in off kind of from the mobile bathrooms, it's a doorway. It's two bathrooms. An office on the left, and then it kind of opens up to like an L shape. It's got lockers down its front, and then it's benches, and that's it.
Yeah, Missy was adamant about that trailer bathroom being fixed. We went on a tour with her last week,
right?
And she told us about the floor being completely gone.
Yeah, over the last 6 years, we've given four or five different options, and they haven't really taken up on it.
Taken up on it. Keep on paying. They come to the board. They want more money, but then you.
Since you turn on 360
to
prefab. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Because I asked them, because when I took the team,
but it's Cardinal Homes.
I thought they were going to change in the locker. And I said, no.
Yep. So,
stay on course.
All right, so moving on to the next slide. In the picture you see there, that is the elementary school regrading that we did for them. I think we ended up bringing in 7 or 8 dump truckloads of dirt. We were able to get that dirt from a local contractor who was able to get that dirt from the Longwood baseball field when they redid that and made that turf field. So that's really nice dirt back there. So current work in progress, we are working with Daniel and Darren to install the new consoles for dispatch. I think that starts on Tuesday of next week. They will be transferring dispatch to another locality, and we're going to go in that night or that morning at 8 o'clock, and we have to drill new holes through the concrete floor, core the floor so that we can bring up new power and new IT stuff for all the new computers and consoles, because the consoles are they're designed a little different than what's currently in there, and the holes that are currently in the floor do not work with the new consoles. So we will be drilling through the concrete and patching concrete Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. Old insulation in the gym ceiling is being removed. We've received complaints from CYAA regarding the insulation falling during games and practices that we talked about just a while ago. So that project will be taking place probably in the next month once volleyball and basketball wrap up. Current working projects is the Sheriff's Department sidewalk and entrance.
This is pretty new.
Yeah, this is new within the last 3 weeks. Darren is also, I think this is part of Darren's stuff that he's going to talk about on Tuesday, where he can get some grant money. Me and him have talked about this a little bit for security purposes. The front sidewalk that goes into the sheriff's office, that whole front sidewalk has fallen 6 to 7 inches. If you look at it from the side, the front porch to that building is pulling away from the front of the structure. So we've tried to kind of have a few meetings over the last couple of weeks, haven't been able to get everybody to the table to discuss it, but we will be in the future getting an engineer involved with that, and hopefully some of Darren's grant-funded money can accommodate that for new windows for the front of that building, bollards so that people can't run into it. We're going to try to wrap all that into one, so when we do construction, we bother them at one time.
A front entrance?
Front entrance.
So right now, you can drive a vehicle right in to dispatch.
It's just a cinder block wall. Yep. It's just
take that window?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it would take out the window, but if you go to most dispatch centers, EOCs, what have you, they have those And like you go to Target, they got this big concrete.
Yeah, some kind of bolster. Yeah,
it's big flower pots.
Yeah, big heavy
big
flower
cinder
pots.
Block or.
And they literally, you know, rebar them into the ground.
They had to do one in front of High Street.
Yep.
Came down, went straight into the town off.
Yeah, right there to flagpoles. Yep.
So that's grant funded, so you can be able to do the projects as part of a grant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's going to be kind of noisy once you start jackhammering up all the concrete and doing that. When with dispatch sitting right there only 10 inches it's away through a block wall, that would be...
Definitely a security issue.
It is. So currently identified projects, I think this is the third year on the list for this. It's a new public works addition shop. Currently the maintenance, housekeeping, refuge, and utilities department do not have adequate space to work and house equipment, vehicles, stocks, supplies, etc. are spread out through all throughout the county. All of our housekeeping stuff is actually in the basement over here underneath the courts. Our utilities department has our sewer jetter sitting in the rescue squad building behind a rescue squad where they try to do trainings and stuff, just because we do not have space to keep that inside, and that piece of equipment has to be in a climate controlled facility. So housekeeping supplies are stored in the basement. The room is only accessible by stairs, and staff are having to carry large quantities of supplies up and down stairs. Supply vendors, we've had two just this year, have refused to take stuff in there because they will not go up and down the steps. They said it's a liability to their employees for getting hurt. So supply vendors would not help with that delivery. With the construction of the shop, it would provide departments with proper working and storage space. It would include offices for the department, for our three department supervisors, and possibly the director of public works and administrative staff, housing everyone under one roof. Currently we have housekeeping staff that are taking their towels and wipes and cloths and stuff like that home to wash in their own washing machines at home, just because we do not have a facility for them. They also eat their lunch possibly in their car or just in a lobby of the sheriff's office currently. We also have, like I said, between the maintenance and utility staff, there's roughly 12 to 15 of us. A lot of the maintenance guys eat their lunch in their work truck, just because there's not enough room in that one little office for them to eat during the winter months. So the public works shop that we currently have, it's not a lot of space. There's no heating and air conditioning out in the bay. We have no backup generator, so that when we lose power and we get called in for emergency stuff, we have to operate with flashlights to just find equipment and tools inside of our shop to go handle whatever problem we have. And then whenever the guys have to work on their own trucks or vehicles, they have to do it outside on the ground or get a part of their truck in the shop and then leave the bay doors open and be exposed to the elements, whether it's heat in the summer or cold in the winter. And then the last one on that list, pavement at Randolph and Hamilton transfer stations. Staff has received numerous complaints regarding the transfer station road conditions. Staff this year alone at Randolph transfer station has put down 46 bags of asphalt patch weighing 60 pounds apiece, and each one of those bags cost around $23 to $25. So we've put a lot of money into it, just trying to patch the holes at Randolph. And then we get constant complaints about Hamilton, just a few of them. Miss Ozel, Miss Darlene, Miss Johnson, and then Fred Shoemake call in monthly, every other month, complaining about the way the road is. And then we send staff up there on Tuesdays when they're closed to try to fix all the potholes. And we normally do that 3 to 4 times a year. We completely tear that road up, try to repack it in and re-roll it. And the weather is just not on our side with that.
Now, just as a reminder, members of the board, is when you all approved the Hecate easement and the funds associated with the purchase of that easement about a month ago?
January.
The funds you did, as part of that motion and approval, dedicate the funds from that sale, yep, to the paving of that road at Hamilton.
But after the project.
But after the project's complete.
Which could be what, a year or two?
Could be a good while. Well, they're gonna have to come in and keep that road because they're gonna be using it to access the easement during construction. So they're gonna be coming in and it's part of the agreements to keep that road in good shape. That's something.
He'd be doing anything to it, and then he'll come and tie it up.
Right. You don't want to pave it and then tear it up. Yeah. But they are responsible for coming in and making it decent for the public while they're not using it. So just something to keep in mind.
Gotcha. In addition to that, like Brian said, his jetter is stored down at the rescue squad. Darren is requesting that be moved because he needs somewhere to put the new ambulance.
Run that by me again?
The jetter.
Our sewer jetter.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're trying to find a new home for that currently.
And like I said, that holds water year round for guys that if they get called out in the middle of the night, it's not an extra thing that they have to go and try to find a hydrant and fill it up on the side of the road. That's a unit that needs to stay available at a moment's notice. Yeah. So, and that contains water throughout the whole pumping system. So it has to stay in a heated and cooled place.
So I guess the ancillary question is, where is the new ambulance going?
It's going to go to station one in the back and blocked in.
So it's the long and short of it. It's going to go in a station somewhere.
Okay.
And another truck is going to have to come out and sit outside.
Right. Okay.
Oh, okay. I got you. Now I know what you meant.
Yeah.
Is there one that is deficient, I guess is a good way of putting it, that
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, our oldest ambulance we have is a 2006, and when you break it down from Goodman, it's had the least amount of service calls, parts.
It's got low miles.
It's got 80,000 miles on that truck. And
do we have one that parked at Cartersville permanently?
We do.
Mm-hmm. Or just part time?
We do. Yep.
And there's one at every station permanently.
One at Randolph permanent.
Mm-hmm. And then they get we rotate those.
And we have a QRV at every location too now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I thought we had one unit that was down and not repairable.
That is the 06.
That's a different one. The one that's down and we're using parts off of? Which
2 years ago when there was a truck that was unrepairable was the 06. And that's been fixed. I mean, it took a week to get that piece in and to fix that. We did have last year, the 2009 truck, the motor blew up in it. So we do have that at our maintenance shop right now. We were going to auction that off, but that unit and that box, a lot of the parts off of that are interchangeable with a lot of the units we have now. Mm-hmm. And so we've been, every time something kind of breaks, we go see. And so far, we've been lucky enough to where we
cannibalize it.
Yeah, we've just been taking parts off of that to save a bunch of money on repairs for the box part plus the motor part. Because that motor is the same as three other trucks, I believe. So the block itself is not any good, but alternators, battery trays, turbos, all that kind of stuff, radiators.
Nice. Light assemblies.
Yep, light assemblies, the front, lights, doors, door handles, that kind of stuff.
We can put a mower deck under it and Dean could drive it around cutting grass.
There you go.
I think I've seen that online somewhere.
Metal store.
That's a YouTube thing.
Unless it's getting cool.
Well,
So,
a lot of these are
CIP. So on here, initiatives, the old two-story complex renovation. Sam spoke on it. The LPJ committee. That she's on, I'm on, Derek's on, and two board members are also on with five or six citizens. And staff have been working with the LPJ committee on a plan of repurposing the old school. Potential repurposing could include administrative offices, treasurer, commissioner of revenue, county administrator, finance, building inspection, zoning and planning, and recreation, which could open up the current administration offices to the courts for their expansion if needed. The plan could also include remodeling the auditorium to be used as a board meeting room or a community space for a laundry list of things that the community would want in there. The community center roof gym We just talked about that earlier in the slide, how we got new basketball goals and new doors for that facility. We've been kind of struggling with that roof for the last 2 or 3 years. It's a long A-frame style roof, and every time snow gets on it and with weather and wind, it's starting to pull the screws out, and we've been losing pieces of that metal off that roof. So we've been kind of patching it for the last couple of years. That roof has started to leak. Just the other week, we had a leak in Sam's office coming through her light fixture onto her desk. Wow. So my recommendation is before we really do anything with the floor and anything else in that gym, we need to get the roof part straight. So that would be step one of that community center gym. And we've gotten budget estimates of anywhere from $850,000 to $1 million, depending on what type of roof we want to go back with. If we want to stick with the A-frame or if we want to go with a flat roof, which would then open us up, allowing us to be able to put heat and air in that gym. The way it's currently designed, it would be very expensive and very hard to get air conditioning into that gym and to redo the heat. That boiler that's up there running is a 1946 boiler in that time frame.
You know it's efficient.
And it works, and we have a few problems with it, but it also burns about 4 gallons an hour in fuel. So when it's being used for the weekend, and people are in there and they got the heat turned up, it does go through some fuel. Also, another current identified, the library roof. Me and Derek had this conversation before it actually became the county's property, that it was going to need a roof in the near future. For the last year, we've seen shingle tabs start blowing off that. So that roof is going to need to be replaced at some point. And I don't know that we have gotten a contractor to look at to give us a budget number for that. But that is coming sooner rather than later. And then currently identified projects is trucks for the public works staff. Just this year alone, we have lost 3 trucks due to transmission issues and frame rot. The 3 trucks that we lost, all 3 of them were 2007 Ford F-150s that were bought in 2007. One of them had 160,000 miles. It was a utility truck, and in the time frame that we had it, we put 2 transmissions in it and the frame was gone, so that's what took it out of service. And then we had another one, had a 227,000 miles, that was a utility truck. Transmission went out in that and the frame was rotten on that one. And then the third one was the old building inspector's truck, had 193,000 miles. It did not have any transmission issues. It also did not have a hitch on the back to pull anything, and the frame rotted out underneath that one as well. So we are asking for 1 truck so that we can start getting on a cycle of 1 truck a year to make our oldest truck 12 years old, roughly with those type of miles, and so that everybody is in a safe vehicle for whatever they get called out for, whenever they get called out for.
Board members, a lot of this was presented to you, and Brian's doing a good job of reiterating, a lot of this was in the CIP presentation for the first budget workshop. He's been looking at used vehicles, new vehicles, donated vehicles. We've been covering the gamut. So
we currently have a utility worker that doesn't have a truck at all, so he has to share with the maintenance department's truck. And then we've got maintenance guys who typically work independently, have a tag team. One gets dropped off to do a job, and then he comes back and gets picked up. So they're currently doing that now. But a lot of these trucks, we have certain requirements that we have to have for them because the maintenance department helps the utilities department, and the utilities helps the maintenance department. That 92% of all of our utilities is in VDOT's right of way. So anytime we sit in VDOT's right-of-way to repair anything of ours, we have to be in compliance with their regulations. And per their traffic control manual, any vehicle that's in a VDOT right-of-way that is used as a blocking vehicle has to be rated at 10,000 pounds or more. So a 3/4-ton truck is roughly 85 to 10,000 pounds on the GVW. So that's why you see a lot of VDOT trucks are F-350s or 3500 crew cabs
because
they meet that 10,000 pound GVW to meet their standards. So we also have to fall within that as far as truck requirements as well. On top of with those trucks, it's a heavier tow capabilities for our portable generators, our portable sewer pumps, along with construction equipment that we rent or own that we have to move throughout the county, tractor, bush hog, to do our jobs every day. So, all right. The maintenance department has been able to fill some much needed positions last year, but recently lost two employees, a maintenance worker one and a maintenance worker two. We lost the maintenance worker one employee during the peak grass cutting season, which caused all departments to have to step in and help with grass cutting in order to stay on top of it. The extreme heat and rain were working against us, but with everyone pitching in, we got it done. We will be looking to fill that position closer to the grass cutting season. We currently lost a maintenance worker two employee to the school. They've decided they want to have their own maintenance person to do some smaller stuff to take care of some day-to-day tasks, but still use us for bigger issues such as all the HVAC for the schools, all three schools, all filter changes, grass cutting, and structural issues like the roof. We are in the process of interviewing with hopes to fill the maintenance worker two position, hopefully in the next week or so. And then after that, we will need to be looking at filling that maintenance worker one position before grass cutting season really comes into full swing. The refuse department has seen an influx in trash due to the increase of homes being built, but the trash hauling company is doing a great job keeping up with that. General maintenance equipment and adequate transportation are at the top of our list of things that the department sees for this year. And with that being said, do y'all have any questions for me?
Good job.
Very good. Do you have to support the antenna project? I know you did it early on.
Early on, I was in a lot of those meetings, but lately it's state police, Derek, Daniel. Mm-hmm. They're handling
nothing.
Yeah, they're handling that.
All for it.
Yeah.
Appreciate all you do. Yep. Hey, can you give the board an update on where we are with the generator project?
All right, so Monday, Davison Green came out. They are currently putting in the ATSs, started this week. As soon as all the ATSs or the automatic transfer switches for the pump stations, and that will be going at 5 pump stations that we got from a Fish and Wildlife grant. So the ATSs are going in, probably going to take 2 weeks to do those. Once that is done, then the concrete bases will be put in, mm-hmm. and then the generators will be set. So I would say within the next month and a half, those should be up and running and operational for us.
Nice.
So
the weather did impact some of that.
Yeah. They were supposed to have all the generators and the ATSs in beginning of January. And I think a majority of them did land first, second week of January. And then we got that big snow event, and it just kind of pushed us up to where we are here now. So, but I think that'll, once those get put in, that'll put us well over 20 generators that we have to maintain on a PM project throughout the year, including all county-owned stuff, mobile stuff, and school stuff.
And speaking on generators, one of the generators, there's a generator we're going to look to replace as part of that E911 grant, and that's the one at
Dispatch,
and we'll take that one and take it to animal control so they'll have backup generation power. So we're going to
They currently have a backup generator now.
Right.
It's an old little suitcase one. I mean, it's not much bigger than that refrigerator over there if you lay it down. So it's a 20 kW, so it'll run the entire place. The hopes in taking that 100 horsepower generator down to animal control is seeing if the contractor that takes it up and puts it in for them can also tie that into the maintenance shop across the road.
Right.
So, and then we have adequate power for both. Because currently, right now, the tower has a generator at the shop, and Animal Control has a generator at the shop, but no public works facilities, maintenance facilities has any kind of generator backup.
Needs it.
Yep.
Good update.
All right.
Thanks,
Brian.
Thank you. All right. Thank
you
all very much for Brian.
Nope.
I'll see you. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
to recess.
I guess that takes us up to break. Break.
Just need a motion to recess.
Get a motion.
Yep.
Yes, to recess.
Do we have a motion to recess for lunch?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Newman?
Aye.
Mr. Stimson?
Aye.
Mr. Saunders?
Aye.